Hello, friends. I am Cindy Thompson, and this is a Resilience Project. This is a space where stories are shared and possibilities are discovered. I invite you to partner with me in cultivating resilience among humans, one conversation at a time. Early into the year of 2020, when the initial news of COVID-19 began to trickle across the world, it was difficult to imagine the many ways in which our world would be changed. Many of you have experienced losses, personal hospitalizations, job layoffs, and any number of life-altering waves as a result of the pandemic. For the first time on a Resilience Project, I have the privilege of interviewing someone who had firsthand experience with COVID-19. One of the silver linings in this story is that Heather Wood is the proud mother of a healthy little boy named Jasper, who was born November 24th, 2020. This is a very special celebration for Heather, her husband Scott, and Jasper, because 1 year ago, there was an unexpected guest that moved into their lives just before Jasper's birth. In this episode, Heather recalls the events leading up to her due date, the sudden impact of COVID on their family, and the complexities of being one of the first maternal COVID cases in Saskatoon. As a first-time mother or parent, the anticipation of having your first child is filled with hope, excitement, and any number of firsts yet to be experienced. What Heather and her husband Scott could not have anticipated is that COVID would have a whole other plan for them. Recalling the multitude of health challenges, fears, and anxiety associated with this event in their lives, Heather offers a candid and authentic lens on what it meant to give birth while compromised with COVID-19. So here's my conversation with Heather. Heather, I am so honored that you would take some time out to chat with me today and be on a Resilience Project.
It's lovely to be here.
We've got some really important stuff to talk about today. And I just want to acknowledge that you are the first guest that I've had on in the last year that we've been doing this that has had COVID, and you have quite the story to tell. But we're going to start with present day. Tell me about your little guy, Jasper.
Yeah, so Jasper is just freshly 11 months old. He is literally such an astounding little guy. You know, this Resilience Podcast could really be about him as well. He's, you know, we overcame a lot a year ago, but he also overcame a lot. You wouldn't know. He's the happiest, most cheerful little guy. He loves people. He doesn't care who holds him.
Beautiful.
Yeah, he loves the words dada mainly. I can't get him to say mom. I think just yesterday I heard it, which is really nice, but he's just a big, big joy.
I bet he is, especially when we go through challenges in the early stages, and we know that first year of parenting is a massive learning curve anyway. This is your first child. There's a lot of firsts that come with that first child.
That is very true.
It sounds like you might have been one of the first COVID maternal cases in Saskatoon.
Yes. So, I mean, I don't know that for sure, but I've heard kind of through the grapevine some of my friends working at the hospital, also just the way some of the doctors and nurses were treating me in the hospital. As I gave birth to Jasper, they really didn't know what to do with my case and giving birth as I had COVID.
Yeah. How soon before you gave birth did you discover you were positive for COVID?
A couple of members of my family had tested positive in the weeks prior. So it was kind of on our radar, but we were in the clear for close contact. So, you know, you're kind of like, I'm nervous that this is going to be something that impacts us, but you can kind of rest in the fact that you're not in close contact. But my husband had a runny nose the day before our due date.
Oh.
He had just tried to avoid that thought. I don't want that to be reality. But alas, we decided to go get tested on my due date. We got swabbed. I had zero symptoms at that point. But then within the next 12 hours, I developed quite severe symptoms, like lots of coughing, lots of fatigue, but honestly, I was not focusing on my symptoms very much. I was focusing on the fact that, oh my goodness, I've just passed my due date. And if this turns out to be COVID, our lives are going to be really impacted.
I bet.
So then on the Sunday, that would be the 22nd, my husband was making breakfast and I looked up our results. It said that we were both positive for COVID. And, you know, I felt like I was like, okay, I got to get in the zone. This is going to really impact these next days. But my husband really took that very hard in that moment, because that ultimately meant that he could not be with us at the birth of our son.
How devastating. Like, there's just so many layers just to that piece you've just shared.
Mm-hmm. And my husband is a man who, like, at our first month date, I asked him what he wanted with his life. And he said, I just want to be a dad. And he read so many books about how to support his wife in labor. And this has been the moment he's been waiting for, to be at the birth of his son.
Oh, my.
You know, we both have a story here, and they're very different. He has his own grief in the midst of this as well. But the hard thing is, I could not really be there with him because I was already setting my mind on what I had to do.
Mm. When you're expecting, you hear stories, you've seen others give birth. It's like, okay, I have an idea of what this might be like and what I'm preparing for. So you're kind of two minds. I can hear that. You really need to focus in on what you needed, and you couldn't really be there to honor what his process might have been at the same time.
So we were there for each other the best we could in the midst of those days.
Yeah.
But his story is one of him just basically staying at home for a long time alone with our dog.
Mm. Dog. Yeah, he had a different part of this journey.
Yes, exactly.
So what were your symptoms like?
There's a span of them. That Saturday, it was a Friday that we got our test. The Saturday I became quite sick, just quite a hoarse cough, losing my voice. Probably one of the scarier symptoms in the midst of those couple days was this sensation as I was falling asleep that I wouldn't wake up. I remember asking a nurse in the hospital, will I die in my sleep? Will my body wake myself up if I stop breathing? She reassured me, yes, of course. Thankfully, while I was awake, I didn't have heavy breathing in those first days. So right before you go into labor, you want to get the best that you can. My head wasn't really worried about my symptoms at that point.
You started to get sick on the Saturday. What day then did you give birth to Jasper, and how things transpired knowing that you were positive with COVID?
You know, I kind of had to go into planning gear. Okay, can I have somebody else at my birth that's not my husband that's COVID-free? My dad had tested positive for COVID. So my mom and my sister were both in quarantine. My brother's whole family was in quarantine. So anyone that you've seen within 2 weeks of you testing positive is no longer, I couldn't have in the hospital. So it left very few people. Luckily, I have this lady in my life. Her name is Lena. And she's been someone who has walked with me through other seasons that have been up and down. I would say she's a bit of a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
I just called her and said, hey, Lena, are you willing? After I had that set up, I just felt so much better that I did not need to do that by myself.
Mm.
And Lena, she's a social worker. And so she's very, very good in hard situations.
Bless her heart. Well, and just acknowledge, for Lena to come and be willing to help you in labor, you have COVID. That's a commitment on a whole other level. When your family couldn't be there for you, that she was willing to put herself in a position that she possibly could contract COVID.
100%. And I said, Lena, I understand that this is a risk. This is a big ask. Please only say yes if you, in your heart, feel comfortable with this. And really, when you think about it, like, nurses and doctors have been serving on the front lines for close to 18 months now. At that point, it would have been. And you know, if they're wearing all the PPE,
yeah,
they're coming out okay, safe most days. You know, that's kind of the logic that we use to help her make that decision. She felt like almost a sense of calling to come and walk this out with me.
Wow.
So I just really appreciate that.
I like Lena already.
You would really like her. She is a pretty incredible person.
You're a few days now past your due date. What point then did you realize it was time to go?
Yeah, so I'm just kind of mentioning all the people that helped set this up for us. So Lena was a big one. We also have a friend that's part of our faith community that is an anesthetist at the hospital. So he called in the maternity ward and just said, hey, like, what are some of the things that Heather needs to be aware of or doing? We also have a friend who works on labor and delivery who just set up the best nurses for me. She made sure that I got into the room with the best nurses. So we just were very surrounded by a whole village during this. And not any of those things goes left unnoticed in the story, because they all help with the support that we receive.
I love that you'd mention that, because often when I think about resilience, it is about community. Is it about who's the team of people that came around you at a time where your family, your spouse couldn't be there? This whole community of people worked together to make sure you had the best support.
Eventually, I started showing labor signs on the Monday. So that would be the 21st of November. My labor happened very slow at the beginning because I think I was just so high strung. So yeah, I started experiencing light cramping. And by Monday evening, I had gone for a walk on my treadmill because we couldn't go out of our house, and my water broke. All night I'm laboring in the bathtub, just getting up every few contractions. That was really nice to be with my husband during those. And then at 10 a.m. on the Tuesday, the 24th, my husband drove me into the hospital. Saying goodbye to him in the car was very, very hard. You know, I go up to my room immediately. They're not used to people coming and saying that they have COVID. No, I'm actually tested positive for COVID, and they're expecting me up on the maternity ward. So I got up there, they put me into an assessment room where they saw that I was 3 to 4 centimeters dilated. And then I could actually see my husband from the window.
Oh, good.
And then when he finally drove away, I was a basket case.
I bet.
Just it kind of settled in that he was not going to be there. This was going to be the start of this process. So Lena showed up a little bit later, and I think that really helped just distract me from all that was going on. I got a word of wisdom from another fellow that told me that you can get through anything one breath at a time.
Nice. I like that.
And I really held on to that, both through my labor and through this whole season. And that really helped me, just one breath at a time. You never need to do that contraction again. For the most part, my delivery was really, really good. Many of my COVID symptoms actually lifted as I was going through labor. I believe that a woman's body, when you're going through labor, it's just adrenaline. And it kind of just like overruled maybe some of the symptoms I had to say, nope, this is what's actually priority right now in this woman's body.
Well, and I wondered about that because I was thinking about your breathing and how just a day or two before you were really feeling like you had that weakness and that shortness of breath. And then suddenly things improved enough to be able to breathe through labor. That's remarkable.
Yeah, it is. And I am so thankful for that. My contractions were really quite manageable until around 5 p.m. And they thought, okay, we need to get this woman on oxy and start inducing this baby out because it had been 24 hours. That's when they moved me to another room, kind of the delivery room. And that's when things got very intense. You know, at that point, they're like hooking me up to all of these IVs. They asked me to get an epidural because if I were to need an emergency C-section, anyone with respiratory sickness can't get a general anesthetic because it could really bring infection to the lungs. Yeah, my epidural did not work in the place that it needed to. And I felt most of my contractions right in my right hip. You know, it went from maybe like 50 to 100 within the next couple hours. And all this time, my husband's on a FaceTime call beside me on our iPad. And he says it almost felt like just watching TV. Like, it was just hard to really be there through a screen.
I'm so glad he at least could be there virtually to witness, and you knew.
You could hear the process. Yeah. So anyway, it got really intense. The doctor had come to check on me and said, see you at 6 a.m. tomorrow because this baby's going slow. And then probably about an hour and a half after this, I'm just like distraught, completely distraught. And they yell for her down the hallway. And of course, it's very hard to get anybody in my room because they need to mask, they need to PPE, put on jackets. It's not just a quick in and out. And so the nurse said, you need to hold that baby inside of you. Like, he was just coming out. That's a whole thing on its own, just trying to hold a baby inside of you. Well, the doctor comes, puts all her PPE on, and then he was born within maybe 15 minutes of that.
Wow.
At that point, I could not hold him right away because I was COVID infected. I did wear a mask the whole time, and I actually kept the mask on the whole time, which is amazing.
That is amazing because we have two kids. And okay. I compare anything hard that I have to do to labor. And so I just know that's a reference point that, okay, how does this compare to labor? I cannot imagine going through labor with a mask on. That just is remarkable in itself.
Yeah, you know, there's like part of my heart that is a little grumpy sometimes at people who complain about masks, because I feel like, well, have you gone through labor with a mask? No. Okay.
It's all relative, right?
Yeah, honestly, some people ask me how it was. I didn't even notice it. You're going through so many other things.
Jasper's born. How long was it until you could actually hold your baby?
Yeah, so they wanted me to just wash down. They wanted to stitch me up. They wanted to clean him out and down. It was maybe half an hour to 45 minutes. So I did hold him. That was just an incredible moment. I like flipped my iPad around and took a couple pictures. You know, I was also trying to breastfeed him on my own. Normally you have your husband to come and help you, and nobody was really helping me with that. When you're coming off of an epidural, you don't really have all of your marbles in a jar yet. In the room, I held him for maybe 20 minutes is what they wanted me to do. And then they wanted me to put him in his little bassinet across the room. As I was sitting in bed, he needed to be far away from me, at least 6 feet.
Wow.
All is good. He's healthy. They were going to let me go home with him the next day. I go for a shower. We start going to sleep. This is like 10 p.m. It's probably like, you know, 1 a.m. by the time we're kind of getting into bed. Kind of at 2 a.m., I wake up as one of the nurses is there. So he was having a lot of trouble breathing. They needed to just clear some of the mucus out. And then she was taking his temperature, and a baby's temperature should be around 36.5 at, and his temperature was around 35.4. I could just hear the worry in her voice. She's really, really mad because NICU doesn't want to come down to look at him. He doesn't have COVID as far as they know, but he's considered part of my bubble. So he has COVID isolation. Finally, a doctor came. Unfortunately, this doctor did not speak very good English. He was trying to explain things to me and it was very hard to understand. And then he started walking out of the room with Jasper, and I don't know what's happening. So the nurses had to explain it to me again. One of the nurses just grabbed him and just let me give one more little hug to him. And then they took him up to NICU. And it was a bit wild because in the midst of that busyness, as they're saying, we need this baby looked at, it's just loud and chaotic. And then within seconds, it goes complete silence, nobody in the room. Okay, he's in the NICU. I'm here. I can't go see him in the NICU because I have COVID. We don't know how long he'll be in the NICU. And everything's uncertain at that point.
What a scary thought, just to have your baby walk out with the doctor. Mm-hmm. You know you're in a good place. If anything's going to be wrong, you know you're where they could help you. The natural mother instincts to want to be with him would have been over the top. And I can't imagine the sense of helplessness for you.
That feeling is unlike any other feeling I've had. He was in the NICU for about 10 days, but those days were so long. The ache in my heart was completely indescribable. I could say for sure that I had the baby blues pretty strong, because I really wondered if I would never see him again.
I bet.
And you know what? As a pregnant woman, you carry your baby around 24/7. You're always with them for 10 months. And there was one moment, I was just in the bath once I had been discharged back at home and started talking to him out of habit. And then it just dawned on me that he wasn't there with me. And that was a very hard moment of grief for me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just so counterintuitive. And of course, the desire to breastfeed, the desire just to bond with your baby and look him in the eyes and say, hey, I'm your mama. Here I am. Here we are.
Yeah.
And all of those natural ways that you start to connect with your child immediately. This is just so counterintuitive to have him in a whole other area of the hospital and not with you. I can't imagine.
And then to not bring him home to my husband. You know, unfortunately, your mind just runs in those situations when you don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, it was just very hard. It was very hard.
Tell me what helped get you through that. Like, you were discharged from hospital. What point did you go home?
unfortunately, the story doesn't end here. I went home the next day on Wednesday. They wouldn't have discharged me so early because I didn't have my baby. So that was really nice to be reunited with my husband. At the end of my labor, my blood pressure had really spiked. Blood pressure has never been a problem throughout my whole pregnancy. Everything was good. Now I know that COVID actually causes an increase in blood pressure. It's another symptom that I had in the early days was a very increased heart rate, because COVID is an inflammation of the heart. At a rest, maybe 120 to 130 some days. And then also postpartum, you can have high blood pressure. I didn't know this. So they sent me home and they wanted me to get a blood pressure cuff and just be taking it every so often throughout the week. So I got home. Thankfully, someone had given us a breast pump. I started pumping. All of the flanges were the wrong size and we couldn't go anywhere. So it was just even a chaos as we went home.
Those are some of the new things. And without the support, typically public health might come visit you at home, see how you're making out with your baby. Those are ways that our system helps prepare you for motherhood and answers those questions. But you missed all of that when you got home. What would you say you needed there?
If I could answer it so honestly, I would have want people to come to sit with me, to hold my hand. Some key people. Something that I did need and that we needed was just meals. People came and dropped off meals. We have a meal train in our neighborhood. Whenever a new mom has a baby, they post it and people sign up. It's a very cool thing.
Wow.
So we probably got a month of supper every night. And then on top of that, people were giving us skip the dishes gift cards. People were just dropping off frozen meals. So many baked goods, so much food. Which unfortunately, my husband and I both lost our sense of taste and smell.
Oh, right.
And it lasted for about a month for both of us. So we honestly couldn't taste a lot of it. So if you know someone with COVID or even just being quarantined, just keep them in the front of your mind and bring food or flowers. We got flowers. Those were really beautiful.
Nice. And it's maybe individual as well. Like what you needed, it might be helpful to ask that person what would help look like right now. Like you said, you were getting a ton of food, but maybe to be able to call and check on you if they can to come visit. Those are ways that, given what you were going through, there's just so much you would have been navigating and so many fears. I can appreciate that is where community needs to step in and that they can be helpful.
It's amazing. Once you go through something that you need resilience for, all the stories start coming out. So other moms were telling me, oh my goodness, I understand. Not exactly, but a little bit. You know, I was really sick, or I had my child taken from me as well, or just moms understood what I was going through the best. So they just really kind of gave me some relatability there. And that brings strength. That really brought me strength.
That's another piece of community, isn't it? Where we can come together. And that's one of the reasons I like doing this podcast, is to help people not feel alone, to know that you might be dealing with this in your experience, but there's others out there that get it. So to hear from one another like you did, I can hear the benefit of coming together and feeling heard, to feel understood by somebody, and to be able to give voice to that.
There was one night that my blood pressure had reached 175 over 110. So for anybody who knows blood pressure numbers, that is very, very high. So I'm going back to the hospital. I called one of the members of my church community, the place that my husband works, and he started this prayer chain for me. So honestly, we were so covered in prayer because people signed up for hour slots. So we really just had even that connection or that support. But as I was going into the hospital, I was just like, God, I am so tired. I miss my baby. I don't know how I can do this. So I'm sitting in the bed. They're getting all set up with me, blood pressure, everything. And then this person pops by my door. Hi, Heather. But she's full PPE. I can't see her face at all. And she's like, I'm going to come see you later. Okay. Okay. Awesome. And then her voice clicks in my head. And she's a good friend from my university days. So she had seen my Facebook post, Jasper's in the NICU, I'm at home. They told her there's a new mom, she's got COVID, she's got high blood pressure, her baby's in the NICU, she's coming. Should we send her to the ER or to should we bring her on the maternity and labor floor? And she was like, what's her name? And as soon as they heard my name, she's like, no, she needs to come here. We need to get her in one of these rooms. So she just advocated for me on that end. And I'm so thankful, because even just having a room that overlooks the river, it was the same room actually that I gave birth to him in. Even just those memories were able to sit with me and bring me comfort.
Yeah.
So there was just so many things there that were just so cool. So I was back in there. My blood pressure was just very, very high. And I also, during those days in the hospital, was having a lot of trouble breathing. And I was just almost passing out. I pressed my nurse button and they all came in. They swarmed in and they started doing IVs on me and they ordered CT scans. I also started getting really flu-like symptoms. So I think my COVID symptoms left for my labor and came back.
I see. I think that's an interesting piece that for the listeners to know. You're still carrying COVID at this point. You're still trying to fight it. And these are some of the ways in which it's manifesting now at this stage.
And I think COVID can get better in 7 days sometimes, or worse in 7 days. I've heard that number. And this was my 7 day.
I see. Right.
And it really got worse. Honestly, part of my story is a Venn diagram. I use that as an image for myself because I was going through postpartum. I had COVID and I was also a new mom. And so it was very hard for me to know where my symptoms were coming from. Mm-hmm. But I do know that my CT scan was clear. I did not have any blood clots. And once they filled my body full of water, they had avoided giving me water because I had high blood pressure and water can increase your blood pressure. But once they gave me water, I felt a lot better. But then I still had flu-like symptoms. I was so, so, so tired and so sick in the hospital those days. I was pumping as much as I could, but it's exhausting. Mm-hmm. Exhausting to try to figure that out. I was sleeping full time. My moods were very, very low. I remember actually looking out on the river. There's like a Ferris wheel in our city. And I was so hopeless that I would ever see Jasper again.
Wow.
I was really hopeless in the midst of those days that I just was looking at the river and I just thought, I need to start imagining my life with him in the city. So I just put him on the Ferris wheel and thought, maybe one day we'll ride the Ferris wheel together. I saw the bridges and we love biking as a family. I thought maybe one day I'll be able to bike him. And it was almost like forcing myself to just choose hope in those moments for me and for him. I think what I learned through this whole thing is that life is not what you expect. And it throws you curveballs and you have to live through them. Like nothing is guaranteed.
It's a good point because not only were you struggling with your health and it could have even been worse, but with what you knew and what you had in that moment, I think that's powerful to hear you say that you had to choose hope, that you had to start envisioning yourself living with Jasper, living as a family and getting better and out there in the world on that Ferris wheel. I can just imagine the power that that might have had for you. Could you feel the shift when you started to intentionally build that in?
Like very little, because I would say I was so clouded. What I was feeling was so heavy. And so it was like I had to push through a wall to get even that thought in my head. And I wouldn't say I left that moment like, yes, we're going to go biking. But it was like, I can see like a tiny crack. But it was important for me to grasp it. My husband wasn't there. Nobody was there.
Yeah. I really appreciate your mentioning that because that's sometimes all we've got is a little sliver, some little image or a thought about the future. And that sometimes just gives us something to grasp a hold of right now. And you needed something. You needed to grab a hold of something that you could imagine for you and your little family as a new mom.
So Jasper, he was in the NICU for 9 days. His temperature was low. They took him up. They started doing many tests on him. So he got a spinal tap in those early hours of his life, blood tests galore, COVID test. I guess what they're testing for is meningitis. Thankfully, every single test that came back was completely clear. Although those waiting moments are just still very difficult, even though you hear like, oh, he's actually okay. He was very snotty And so he was sneezing and he was coughing a little bit. So they were just so, so tentative mm-hmm. about releasing him. The hard thing is that the nurses would call us and say, I think he's going to come home tomorrow. I don't know why they're keeping him here. They're doing that in good faith that he will be released. And we'd hear, oh no, we're doing another test and it's going to be longer. And I think that just makes a hopeful heart get sick. Okay, hoping. And that's kind of what those 10 days felt. One of the nurses would call us often. When I was in the hospital, she actually sent down his umbilical cord clip to me.
Aww.
Such a beautiful moment for me. I'm like, he's real. He's just a floor above me. She just kept saying how much of a joy he is. Thankfully, Scott's mom, my husband's mom, was able to go in.
Oh, good.
And start feeding him because it had been the 2 weeks. She would come and pick up my breast milk that I had pumped, drive it to the hospital. She could feed it to him. She spent almost 8 hours a day with him while he was there.
Fantastic.
Obviously, she was full PPE. I have another friend who works on the NICU, and she also got to go and snuggle him on the end of some of her shifts. And she would get videos of him and pictures of him and send them home. And just seeing his grandma there with him, it's a very special bond. Yeah, nice. I think there is some connection there that can't be explained.
Can you tell me about that very moment when you got to hold Jasper again?
Oh, yes. The Thursday morning after I've had him, December 3rd, it happens to be Lena's birthday, which is kind of a cool thing. Lena, the one who was with me, getting a call from the nurse that morning. Okay, what's it going to be this time? And we actually don't answer the phone in time. So she leaves a message. And it's just like this sense of relief that floods over you, this sense of joy, this sense of thankfulness, deep, deep emotion, obviously, of like, what is this going to be like? Like I said, nothing's like you expect. So, you know, you have your like first going home outfit and you see the pictures in the hospital of you and your spouse. I think social media is great, but also very hard sometimes in these moments.
Totally. Yes.
Because I even saw other moms that had due dates around my time and they had such a good experience and they posted all those photos and I just couldn't. We didn't do any of that. And so I know other NICU parents have that sort of sense of grief. But anyway, he came home at maybe like 3 p.m. I didn't believe it until I saw it. A grandma and grandpa Scott's parents went to pick him up. And my father-in-law is a funny guy. And he said he should dress up like a stork. Because it really felt like that, just flying Jasper in. Scott was off quarantine that day. I was still technically in quarantine and still had some symptoms, so we had to be careful. But Scott was able to go out to the street and grab him. And I just was a wreck on the stairs, just standing on our porch. I can't even explain the sort of emotion that I was feeling. Welcoming this baby into our home, seeing my husband meet him for the first time, lay his eyes on him, just like almost brings me to tears now, just having him rest on my lap. Unfortunately, I was also kind of distraught with anxiety at that point. My blood pressure was still up and down. I had started all of these new blood pressure meds. I was still having flu-like symptoms and a cough with COVID. My taste hadn't come back. And everybody was like, you have to be very careful with
it. Oh my goodness.
I was masking. Every time I came near to him, I had to wash down completely with soap, water. He never slept in our room with us. He always had to be in his own room. And I just felt overwhelmed, like, okay, now he's home, but I'm still contagious. And I think in those spaces in our brains, we can get a little obsessed. But I am not normally a clean freak at all. Maybe that's how I got COVID. It's good to laugh about, but
sure. Now,
to be really diligent is very hard for me. And so it was really anxiety driving a lot of those early days for me.
Well, and most parents, when they first bring their baby home, first child particularly, there is a lot of anxiety. There is a lot of concern and worry. Am I doing this right? Do I know how to do this? How do you do this? What's the best way to do this? So I can appreciate that layered with still having COVID and trying to navigate a lot of those cautionary notes.
Yeah, we were locked down in our house still. So my husband got one more week with us before he went back to work. But I put on my like big girl pants again and said, I can do this. And then I was very, very, very mentally unwell. Actually, I didn't know it. It's funny, like sometimes you don't know how much you're struggling in your head. I think it's just like trying to balance all the washing and waking up in the night now, and now trying to breastfeed now that he's home, and now trying to do formula, which is, you have to be very, very careful about the sanitizing, like how you mix it and all of those things. My sister called me and I don't think I'm okay at all. Technically, my quarantine was up on 12th of December. That's already like 3 weeks into his life. And then he had to quarantine for 2 weeks after. So our home was still off limits for people. Although when I was just not okay, my mom, she's like, I would fight this in court. You're a new mom. I'm going to come risk COVID again. That just brought me so much strength. She did so much for me.
Absolutely. Well, Heather, you know, I really feel like there's so much more we could have dove into in this story. And for the benefit of our listeners, I hope to have you share your story so that they can hear just at least one person's experience in a little deeper level of the complexities, the things that you had to consider in getting COVID and the repercussions that had in the early stages of having your little guy, Jasper. I'm so pleased that you are almost a year out celebrating his birthday coming up here in November. Do you have a couple pieces of wisdom for our listeners as to what has helped get you through this? What are some resiliency practices that you now look back on and have realized in yourself?
I think one of them kind of was encouraged by my mother, and also just something that was really good for me. But kind of in those months to follow, you're processing through so much. And, you know, I was still struggling with some long-term COVID symptoms, high blood pressure, postpartum anxiety, newborn. I was so weak some days where I literally felt like I couldn't pick him up. I've never been so helpless in my own body before. That really taught in me a practice to just take each moment as it is. Even trying to get out for a walk, even if it's a small walk, even if it's just standing on my front porch and just staring at a tree and just appreciating that tree for that moment, or staring up into the blue sky. I think expectations really, really hurt me in this whole process. Because my expectations, I had low expectations because, you know, you're a new mom, but then they had to even be lowered yet again because of all of the physical, mental strain I had. Yeah, just needing to reevaluate expectations for myself, and literally every moment just be like, is walking down the stairs enough for me today? Is just giving my child a kiss on the head? And that sounds so ridiculous to me, because shouldn't you be able to do more? But really, I just had to really lower my expectations of my. And I think another thing about this story of resilience for me is just that time really does heal in a sense. I can't believe it's been a year. Like probably the first 3 to 6 months of his life, that story still felt so close to me. I'd cry at a drop of a pin, because there was real trauma there.
You bet.
There was real trauma in the midst of that. And even if like current trauma can trigger old trauma. And so it was just a whole, like almost purging of things inside of me. But, you know, when you are resilient through those things and you have good ways to process over time, I really thought we'd never go for a bike ride, but we've gone for many bike rides. And then also have grace for myself.
A great message. Thank you, Heather. I just appreciate what you've been through. I think any young mom who hears your story is going to be walking alongside cheering as they listen to this. They're going to relate to lots of pieces of it. I'm so pleased it turned out well, that you, Jasper, your husband are all doing well now. Thank you again for being here on A Resilience Project. And I'm so honored for you to have shared your story with us.
It's amazing. It's amazing how we can share and learn. And thank you so much for letting me share my story and allowing people to share stories of resilience.
My pleasure. As a nation, we have all been facing one of our greatest adversities. While we have been learning to adapt, bend, and bounce back in response to this pandemic, it has also provided an opportunity to rely on our resilience. There have been so many fears, unknowns, and learning curves associated with this virus. It is natural to feel helpless, particularly when we identify so many areas that we have no control over. Yet, you may be surprised to know that there have been lots of smaller choices in which we do have control. In taking the time to decipher where you put your energy, you are already learning to adapt and roll with each new challenge. I am so pleased that Heather could be here to speak to this story of resilience in their lives, and that both Jasper and herself are healthy and well. As a mother-to-be, Heather identified many areas in which she had been preparing for her son's birth. Her husband, Scott, so excited to be a dad, was looking forward to being there in the delivery room. I am reminded of the fact that in life, sometimes these adversities will happen to us, and we have no choice but to roll with punches. In Heather's account of feeling helpless after Jasper's birth, being alone in her hospital room, she focused her energies on a vision for their future, a sense of hope and for life moving forward. It is a beautiful example of capturing a thought, image, or belief for the future, and sense of hope that this can bring even in the most desperate moments. Unfortunately, we do not realize our strength and tenacity until after we have come through the storm. With the rich insight that comes from one of the most intimidating storms of their lives, here are some of Heather's resiliency strategies. First of all, I love when a piece of wisdom shared by a friend or family member becomes the very thing that gets you through the next few minutes. Heather passed along this piece of wisdom to us, suggesting that you can get through anything one breath at a time. Secondly, find your community of people who might be going through something similar. In connecting with other moms, Heather was able to receive a sense of validation, especially with others who could relate to some of her experiences, and as a result, no longer feeling so alone in her experience. Community was also evident in the abundance of meals that showed up at their home, and particularly in Lena's presence at the birth. Thirdly, take each moment as it is. After all, this is all we have control over in this moment. And fourth, be aware of expectations. It's okay to reevaluate whether your initial hopes or vision is still relevant. After all, nothing is guaranteed. Although Heather and Scott would have loved to be one of those parents with the first photos in the delivery room together, or holding their son for the first time right after his birth, they have now focused on the beautiful moments where they were bringing their son home, or for Scott to have that long overdue opportunity to look into his son's face for the first time. Heather and Scott also have an amazing and beautiful example of resilience, faith, and courage to share with Jasper one day. He will know how much he was loved, about the amazing people that were their cheerleaders, prayer warriors, and active participants in their story of resilience. They were never alone in this journey. So I'm curious, how do you roll with sudden changes? What mindset do you have when things do not go exactly as you'd hoped? The next time you have come out of a challenging period of your life, I invite you to also capture the ways in which you have an opportunity to bend or change your expectations. Would you have any advice for yourself in the future that you can hang on to and draw on when the next storm hits? Now, if you are not driving while listening to this, I wonder if you would be willing to close your eyes, take a deep breath, and imagine a symbol or image that represents your strength. Once you have that image in your mind, tell yourself that you can access this at any time. If it helps, post a picture or reminder of that symbol in a place where you can see it often. In closing, I love this quote from Brené Brown that reminds us that no matter what we are going through, we are not alone. And it goes like this. I thought faith would say, I'll take away the pain and discomfort, but what it ended up saying was, I'll sit with you in it. Thank you for listening to this episode of A Resilience Project. We would not be doing this podcast without you. If you or someone you know has an inspirational story or is helping to build resilience in their community, please email me at cindy@aresilienceproject.com. In fact, email me either way. I would love to hear from you. My hope is to feature an episode periodically on your letters of resilience. I'm very interested in hearing your story of how you have tackled hard things and what worked for you. With your permission, I hope to share some of these stories along the way with our listeners. Also, check out my website, aresilienceproject.com, to learn more about our amazing guests. Your presence here is important because together we are cultivating a village of resilient individuals. You are creating a space for their stories to be shared and a sacred space for learning to occur. I also have a favor. I would love for you to go to your preferred podcast platform, rate and review the podcast so that we will know how we're doing. I also would like to express my gratitude to the amazing team of volunteers that have jumped on board to support this project. You will find each of those beautiful people on my website on the team page. As you go about this week, I invite you to think about one way that you can continue to grow your resilient muscle. What is one thing you can start with today? See you next week.